Yeah, my name is Adija Adebowale, and I'm still news into sports, the best show in the whole wide world. And we got me, myself, and I today doing a sports show. It's not going to be jam-packed as you want it to be jam-packed, but it is jam-packed the way I expect it to be jam-packed. And every live on a band radio scope to a 12 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Nigerian time or GMT every Monday, and of course tune in on Apple Podcasts and of course Spotify. We're there live and direct for you to listen to us and listen to how we do our thing. It's a long one. It's gonna be a long show. I'm gonna be doing this alone myself today, and we have a whole lot of things that happen across the globe in terms of sport. Yeah, in terms of sports, a lot of things actually happen, and it feels fascinating. I got it all outlined for you. I'm gonna be doing a quick review of those actions that happen across the world, from the backs of basketball world, to the boxing world, and of course, what else do you expect? The Premier League. We'll start with the boxing world. So basically, this is funny because I found out that once an Africa is doing very, very well, and he's a Brit at the same time, like AJ, like Derek Chisora, amongst others, right? When they do well, they are British. But immediately they don't do so well, so fantastically well. They go back to being called the African origin country, so to speak. That's the tale of Chisora. Fought violently against Parker, 12 rounds. Parker getting him down thrice in the course of the 12-round match. Parker was overwhelming favorites. 29 years old against a 37-year-old man. It looks like what we actually got. And luckily for Chisora, he held his forte for a while, a couple of rounds, fifth, sixth round. He came back punching very well. And I thought, okay, probably he had a chance. But of course, in a 12-round match or 12-round bout, you can't expect a 37-year-old and then 29-year-old with the stamina and the rest, right? So, of course, the three judges ruled in favor of Parker overwhelmingly 150, 115 to 112. 114 to 111, and of course 114 to 110 by the three judges in favor of Parker. Now, here's the twist. Parker could be facing one of the big champs, Alexander Usyk, maybe Tyson Fury, maybe even Tyson Fury. Given that the fight between Tyson Fury and Dillian Whyte, the ongoing talks are not really going too good right now, so we don't know what we will expect from that potential bout. So Tyson is saying he could actually hand over his belt to fight against a non mandatory challenger for his next fight if talks are not resolved with the camp of Dana White. We keep our fingers crossed for that, and we look forward to that when it so happens. And of course, the YouTuber that has been making so much noise and causing so much of agony for on social media, of course, his name is Jake Paul. Jake Paul was scheduled to fight against Tommy Fury, the younger brother of Tyson Fury. The match did not go as planned because Tommy actually withdrew from the match. But over the weekend, Jake Paul actually fought against Tyron Woodley. Tyron Woodley is a former UFC fighter, a retired UFC fighter. Just like Jake Paul's last fight, he defeated a UFC fighter, a former UFC fighter as well. A KO, a knockout in the seventh round for Jake Paul. But here's the snag to this fight. Just like the last fight that Jake had, analysts are saying, are calling him out, that this was actually is a fixed match. And the reason why is right before the knockout, there was a kind of signal from Jake to Tyron before he knocked out Tyron. How far that is, I can't tell you at this moment. We'll be doing a little bit of digging and searching into that, and could be telling you potentially about it in the future. Not like I take Jake Paul so seriously, but of course, he's making the money, so who am I to complain? And of course, to the tennis world, Andy Murray was defeated by Andrei Rublev in the Abu Dhabi final, 6-4. 7-6. Don't forget that Andy actually defeated Rafa in the semifinal. That's the first time Rafa Nadal is actually losing to Murray in a very, very, very long time. Rafa last week came up to say he's not sure he's going to be playing at the next Australian Open, which is scheduled to be to start sometime in January of 2022. We're not sure. Because of course, what's happening across the globe right now, we're not sure if the match is actually, the tournament is actually going to start sometime in January. We never could tell. So, fingers crossed for that as well for the Australian Open. But of course, you'll be hearing all the gist here on your sister sport. And of course, jumping straight into the basketball world right now, we have a little bit of issue at the LA Lakers at the Staples Arena, of course, and when you're in the Staples Arena, which would turn to Crypto.com Arena sometime in 2022, the first thing that comes to your mind is LeBron James, right? But now, this is not about LeBron. Of course, it's still about LeBron, but it's not about LeBron. Anthony Davis is going to be off for up to 4 to 6 weeks due to an MCL sprain on his ankle. But what that means for the Lakers is what needs to be determined. The Lakers have not been at their precious best all season. It has been so difficult for them all season, losing games. Ordinarily, you wouldn't expect the Lakers to lose, given their pedigree and the roster, of course. The roster is filled up with the big boys. Maybe old, but the big boys. We can't argue about that they're the big boys. But of course, the roster is not looking so good right now for the Lakers. That means their center is off, which means bad time for them. And this is a team that started with 15 different starting lineup this season alone. So what that tells you automatically is they can't even find the right mix right now for their team. No, they don't have a regular starting lineup. They've been trying to work things out for themselves, but it's not still working out. Obviously, as we can see, on and off the court. And of course, to make matter worse now, they have Dwight Howard. We actually have health injuries right now. And of course, DeAndre Jordan, and plus the rookie, J-Hope. It's a dicey one right now. Dwight Howard, for all we know, is one of the best of all times with the Phoenix. And of course, we know with the health issue he has right now, it's going to be dicey getting someone to actually play in a center forward. But of course, they have the king, so the king could make all the difference for them. But yes, here's a point to it. The king has been averaging, he has been doing pretty well, averaging 28.5 points, and of course, 8.1 rebounds, 7.4 assists in the course of the season. But we all know the king is actually short. So sorry about that, king. But it's the truth. The king is short. So it's more or less like we need someone big to play in the center. But if they have to, then LeBron has to play in that position. And when LeBron does, who flanks LeBron? That's another problem that they're gonna have. Right now they have everybody, they have Horton, they have Malik Monk, and of course Austin Pierce, and all of these people that I just mentioned right now that could possibly flank him are scheduled too self-isolated due to COVID conditions. So bad days for the Lakers, if you ask me. And of course, is it Isaiah Thomas time to shine? I love that name. Hope he could live up to the standard of the great Isaiah Thomas as well. And of course, there's question mark about LeBron's health. So this is the problem. If LeBron has to perform more or do more than is required of him, which obviously in this situation he needs to, what does that have to say about LeBron's health? We understand last season LeBron did not have it so good. In the course of the season, LeBron has been out injured for a couple of weeks as well. So if LeBron has to take more responsibility, he's not getting younger. That's the truth and that's the fact. What does that say about the protection of his health? And if LeBron is not feeling too good in terms of health condition, out injured and the rest, you know what that means for the LA Lakers. Last season they were lucky to avoid the play-ins, but of course they lost at the first round of the playoffs against the Phoenix Suns, who were eventually the runner-up for the NBA championship. Of course, the Cavs and the Hawks game was postponed because of COVID outbreak in the camps of both teams. And of course, the Nets will have their next two games postponed as well because of COVID outbreak. COVID is really, really messing up with people right now. And it's not funny if you ask me. No way. No way in this world is it funny right now. And of course, Kyrie will be a part-timer with the Brooklyn Nets. That's some funny thing, you know. Come think of it. The Nets have not been at their best in the course of the season, obviously due to the struggles of James Harden. KD is still carrying the team, but of course, everybody that understands and knows his source understands that Kyrie is being missed in that team. And when Kyrie comes back, it could potentially be a morale booster. It could be a booster in sporting terms as well, not just morale right now, for the Brooklyn Nets. Now Kyrie could be a part-timer. So any game that is not being played in the state of New York, Kyrie could actually feature in it. Guys, I want your idea about this. Do you think potentially that Kyrie coming back on will make a whole lot of difference for the Brooklyn Nets? Or it's been hard for quite a number of months right now, not playing. Definitely it's going to be rusty. We hope he has been training, but training and keeping fit is different from match fitness. So it is a long shot for everybody involved at the black side of New York. But of course, it's exciting times for the Brooklyn Nets right now, knowing that Kyrie is going to be coming back, even if he's on part-time basis. These guys don't care about the money. Imagine how much Kyrie has actually lost, not playing since the start of the season. But that's a guy that actually holds on to his belief and do what he needs to do. But of course, I think, and I'm convinced that we should be responsible for people around us, for ourselves. Notice what will happen with Joshua Kimmich that said he doesn't want a vaccine, had COVID twice, and of course, it damaged his lungs. So sometimes one just needs to be careful and do what is right as against just holding to your belief. Of course, if you want to hold on to your belief is good as long as it does not affect other people and does not affect you in a potentially bad way. We're going to short break right now. When we come back, we'll be jumping into the world of football. We'll be starting with the Premier League, where things were not the way they were supposed to be across the weekend. And of course, we don't understand the rules again. Don't go anywhere, guys. I'll be right back. Guys, so we're back and we'll be jumping straight into the world of football when we have a whole lot of actions down to the wire, especially in the Premier League, where we don't understand the rules anymore. Rules are rules. Some people have COVID affecting their team, 5-6 players off, and the next team, the Premier League, is calling off those matches. But on the flip side, you look at it and like, okay, this is being done at Brighton and Manchester United. Spurs have had this issue twice, and it's not supposed to be the rule, honestly, but it was kicked out for them. Now we're looking at the flip side of it. Leeds United actually have a couple of players out with coronavirus or COVID-19, whatever way you want to say it, and they have a couple of injuries as well. On the same side, Arsenal too have a couple of players out. Pablo Mari, Sambi Lukoga, just to mention a few. I think three or four players of Arsenal actually had COVID-19. But those games were not called off for one reason or the other. They were not called off. They still went ahead. The games were played, which makes you question the rationale or makes you question the sense behind actually playing these games. On one hand, you are saying, no, we can't go ahead with these matches because these guys are out injured, right? With COVID, not injured with ankle sprain. You're doing that on the Manchester United side, on the Spurs side, on the Brighton and Hove side, on the Aston Villa side. But of course, when it comes to other teams, the rule does not apply. Question marks are being raised. So what is the rule? Anyways, we jump straight into the first game of the weekend, which was Leeds United versus Arsenal. Arsenal had a good run against a Leeds United that was missing 8 to 9 first-team players. That's crazy if you ask me. That game shouldn't have been played. But of course, most of those players were actually out due to injury, not to COVID. So it's a little bit understandable. But Arsenal on their side have a couple of players that were actually out injured with COVID. I call it COVID injury now because the way it seems right now, COVID is still an injury for all I care. Arsenal actually came out all gun blazing, 4-1 ended in favor of Arsenal. Ben White with an erratic, irrational tackle to give Leeds United the long goal they had. It should have been a whitewash for Leeds United. But the question people keep asking right now is, should Marcelo Bielsa be sacked at Leeds United? Because they've not been doing well. And people keep asking this question. For me, I don't know. I have been a passive supporter of Leeds for more than 15 years, since the last relegation of Leeds away from the Premier League. But of course, they can't come back. They couldn't come back. Tried on multiple occasions until Marcelo Bielsa came around, and Marcelo Bielsa actually brought Leeds United back in the referral of the big boys in the Premier League. So for me, if you sack Bielsa right now, which is of course not Bielsa's birthright to be the guy or the best coach in the world. So if you sack him right now, who is your best option? Or who are your best options? Who are the options that you have in front of you? Think about that and think about it quite well. When you do, then you understand that probably keeping Bielsa right now up until the end of the season is the best chance that Leeds United have for a potential survivor of the Premier League. And the way it seems right now, looks like the Premier League will be going on an indefinite break if this COVID-19, whatever, keeps going on right now. It could be a potential break, indefinite break for the Premier League till things settle down after this COVID-19 Omicron decides to die down. Well, hopefully it dies down. And of course, City defeated Newcastle 4-0 on the night. Ryan Sterling on the scorer sheet. And of course, Gabriel Jesus giving one of the assists. Of course, we expected Newcastle to win this. Now, the question is the survival of Newcastle. It looks to be hanging by the thread right now. The survival of Newcastle needs to be hanging by the thread. Their next two games, the next game is going to be at Villa, and the next one is going to be at Poly. That's like a cracker for Castle right now. Because if they don't get points in those matches, I don't want to say anything. The billions will be spent in the championship. And of course, Wolverhampton Wanderers versus Chelsea ended 0-0. Chelsea too had multiple players out with COVID-19. And you're wondering why this match, this game had to go. Honestly, I don't know why they have to play these matches. Loss of revenue, understandable, but you're actually giving some teams the upper hand on due advantage in race for the Premier League, in race for survival, in race for many things. For me, doesn't make sense. And of course, two of the game between Spurs and Liverpool ended 2-2. Liverpool should ultimately have lost this game. No thanks to Dele Alli made lost so many chances for Spurs, which if that be converted, would not be talking about should Harry Kane have been given a red card? We're not talking about so many shoots, honestly. But the question is, referees at this point needs to be consistent. That tackle by Harry Kane is a red card offense. And that tackle by Andrew Robertson is a red card as well. But if Kane has been given that red card in the first half, then that will have changed the complexion of the game. And that nudge, that push by Emerson Royal on Dogoyota should have been a penalty. In any world, it would have been a penalty, of course, except in the world of the referee. Because that was a push. It wasn't a nudge on the back. It was a direct push. It would have changed the complexion of the game. And at the end of the match, Jurgen Klopp actually went to the referee and said, I don't have a problem with referees. You are the only referee that I have a problem with or have a problem with me in the whole of Premier League. I feel sorry for you, your club, but we got to do what we got to do, right? So he has to count his losses. 3 points behind Manchester City right now. The two high flyers in the Premier League, these guys are not stoppable right now. They are unstoppable right now. And of course, to the Spanish La Liga, Sevilla versus Atletico Madrid. Atletico Madrid lost again a third time in a row against Sevilla. And we could see Luis Suarez visibly angry, saying bad words that we cannot say on radio. We can't say those bad words on radio. But of course, Sevilla feeling fly right now. Atletico Madrid, 13 points behind Real Madrid in the title race. It should be 14 points right now because Madrid actually drew 0-0 against Cadiz. Going to the match between Real Madrid and Cadiz, Eden Hazard actually had his opportunity to come back and make a case for himself, but yes, Hazard is not the Hazard we know. Hazard of yesterday, yes, this is a new Hazard, and this Hazard is not Hazard. He is new. He ended between Madrid and Cadiz, and of course, that takes Madrid at least 14 points above Atletico Madrid and a couple of points above their nearest rival. Barcelona managed a 3-2 win against Elche, racing to a 2-goal lead before surrendering the lead. And fortunately for them, they hit a winner close to the end of the match. And of course, in Italy, Atalanta lost at home against Mourinho inspired AS Roma, Tammy Abraham with a brace. Bologna lost at home as well against Juventus, 2-0 in favor of Juventus. Fiorentina produced a wonderful football with Frank Ribery running back the years against Sassuolo, 2-2 we ended, share point for share point between Fiorentina and Sassuolo. And of course, Milan lost at home as well. Same is the day for losing at home this weekend in Italy. Lost at home against Napoli, 1-0 ended. Valo each, the new guy on the new kid on the block, and the ultimate striker right now, the hottest striker or the hottest property in the world right now, equals the record of Ronaldo of 33 calendar goals in a single year in the Serie A. Don't forget, Ronaldo broke that record that stood from 1963 up until 2020. Now, Vlahovic has equaled that record and open probably, if there's still I don't think there's a game again in Italy for the rest of the year, but correct me if I'm wrong. If there's going to be a game in Italy again, then expect Vlahovic to break that record. And of course, in Germany, Otto Berlin defeated the not so much inspirational Elinana Dortmund, Borussia Dortmund right now, 3-2 ended in favor of Otto Berlin. This is a shock defeat for Dortmund, who seem to be going down the drain since they are nerve-wracking. Let me put it that way. A referee-inspired nerve-wracking defeat by Bayern Munich. And of course, that's the wrap, and that's all for all the major leagues. And we're talking about the transfer window right now. Who is hot? Who is going where? Who could potentially be going where? And of course, we'll start. Okay, before we jump into that, Eric Perry Aubameyang is still not in the 4-hour for Arsenal right now. He's been punished for going out to see his sick mother and coming a day later. Aubameyang, we all know, is not the most disciplined footballer in the world. Understandably so. He's a showman. He's a show guy. But my question to my audience or to anybody that loves football is, should this punishment be that bad? If Aubameyang is scoring goals like Salah is doing right now, would the club have melted the same punishment they are right now to Aubameyang? And if Aubameyang is not on a £350,000 per week contract, would they be saying about should be training alone up until it goes off for the Nations Cup? For me, that doesn't make sense. You don't treat legends like this. We make cases for the club all the time. That Owen shouldn't have gone to Manchester United. RVP shouldn't have gone to Manchester United from Arsenal. Carlos Tevez shouldn't have crossed the city from Manchester United to Manchester City. But in this case, Aubameyang was the only player hot. Probably one of his best season in an Arsenal jersey. He knew the team was going through transition, and he still stayed with the team. For huge wages, of course, which is expected, Chelsea would have paid him, would have matched that wage, because Lampard was actually crazy to get Aubameyang at that particular point in time. Should clubs be treating their players this way? That's my question. For me, it's strong. It's an emphatic no for me. But of course, people see things differently. You might have a difference of opinion for what I think. That's understandably so. I'm not going to argue about that. But for me, I don't think Abba should be treated this way. Abba has played 168 games for Arsenal, scored 92 goals, and has been the best Arsenal striker for the past 6 years, 5 years, and has been hanging the club by the thread from that disastrous show of Borough week in, week out. This guy is still with them. It's about time they stayed with this guy as well. About did not go clubbing. About went to see his sick mother and stayed just one day over. That's all. Maybe it wasn't professional enough. Maybe about could have made a better decision. But the truth still remains that this is about his mom. It wasn't going clubbing. it should not be treated this way. A day, two-day suspension, that would have made sense. But saying he should trade alone for the rest of the season, for the rest of the year, to the comeback from Nations Cup, it does not make sense to me. And of course, Rashford is being linked to Barcelona right now. A lot of players are being linked to Barcelona right now. Barcelona, we all know, are broke right now. Can they afford Rashford, even alone, to pay his wages? We'll look forward to hearing about that. And of course, Antonio Rudiger, the backbone of the Chelsea defense right now, has his point for options. He can actually go to PSG, go to Real Madrid, or stay at Chelsea. But my question or my opinion about this has never changed. Antonio Rudiger is not the perfect defender. He's not the best defender. It works well within the system. If he goes to PSG or he goes to Real Madrid, we could see a different footballer. We've seen that player with Genoa, Ronaldo, Emre Can, amongst other players that thought they were better than they actually are, left and could not function well outside of the system. Within the system that Tuchel has actually created in Chelsea, Rudiger is the perfect fit. But leaving that system is a different ballgame. And of course, Vlahovic, the Florentino striker that has just equaled the record of Cristiano Ronaldo in Italy, is closely being linked to Arsenal, Manchester United, PSG, and Juventus. This guy's contract is going to be up for renewal in 2023, and they slammed a £70 million fee on anybody that is interested. He's not convinced with the Arsenal project right now, so you might not be seeing him at Arsenal anytime soon. It might be the Reds of Manchester. And of course, Kylian Mbappe could be having a situation twist with Kylian Mbappe, because right now Mbappe could be signing an extension with PSG. That would be insane if you ask me, but is a possibility, according to Ronaldo coming out today to say there's a possibility that Kylian Mbappe could be signed an extension with PSG and might not be going to Real Madrid. The question is, why does he want to go to Real Madrid again? Real Madrid wanted to buy him at all costs in the summer. Looks like it was destined for Real Madrid. Is it because Zidane is no longer the coach, or there's a change of thoughts for Kylian Mbappe? Don't forget that Real Madrid are actually looking to get Erling Haaland as well, and pay Erling Haaland and Kylian Mbappe. Fingers crossed for that. I know it's going to be a wonderful summer, especially for this particular transfer. And of course, Oriol Tchouaméni could be moving to either PSG, Real Madrid, or Chelsea. These are the money bags. They run the show right now. And of course, Renato Sanchez is looking to quit Lille for Arsenal in January. We look forward to that. It's a possibility. Renato Sanchez, the former Benfica and PSG guy that looks to conquer the world a couple of years ago before that run moved to Bayern Munich. Of course, for me, it was a wrong move. Could be moving. He has eventually revitalized or revived his own career. Now he could be moving back to the Premier League. Don't forget, this was a guy that went to Swansea City on loan and actually passed the ball from the middle of the park to the throw-in. God, I can't forget that Rondos passed by Rondos Sanchez. And of course, Antonio Martial come out through his agent to say he does not want to play for Manchester United again. He wants to leave Manchester United in the January transfer window. How that plans out for Antonio Martial, it's we're looking forward to seeing that, because we know Antonio Martial is just like Antonio Martial is just basically like Eric Cantona it's like Eric Cantona. We don't know. You don't know what. Sorry, I said Eric Cantona, like Nicolas Anelka. He's La Soc. That's what I call it. We don't know what form, fashion Antonio Martial will come out with. So we're looking forward to see who will take the chance on Antonio Martial. Maybe he's going to go back to. Monaco, or Rafnik is going to convince him to stay back at. It's going to convince him to stay back in Manchester United. We never know. Luis Diaz of Porto, with 10 goals and 13 in just 13 games, is a winger actually, could be moving to one of the mid table teams in England. Should I call them mid table? Okay, I can call them mid table. They are Spurs after all. It could be moving to Spurs potentially. You are Felix, the guy that was bought for 102 million euros a couple of years ago. I keep saying it. Diego Simeone is one of the worst wasters of money in world football. He bought this guy for 102 million euros a couple of years ago. Now they are looking out to loan Joao Felix to Arsenal, which is disastrous given the talent of the young kid. But of course, who am I? That's why I'm not a coach. And of course, Denis Zakari. Or Brecha Mochegrabah his contract is going to be due in summer of next year. Could potentially move to Juventus. And of course, that's all we have on the transfer window. Guys, I want to hear your thought out on how Arsenal treated Aubameyang. And of course, how do you think COVID is going to affect football going forward right now? That's the wrap and that's the show. My name is Lalide Adebowale. Still, this is Stanta Sport. Don't forget to follow us on all our social media handles, News Instanta_. We lost our last account on Instagram. News Instanta 2 on Twitter. And of course, News Instanta on Facebook. And of course, we are everyday show live on YouTube. And of course, on all the podcasts, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So we'll meet again next time out. My name is Lalide Adebowale. You guys have a wonderful week ahead. Peace out. Bye.